Amen. Well, good morning, Christ Community family and others who are watching from home this morning. I really am thankful that you've decided to tune in here with us as we dive into God's Word for a few minutes today. We really didn't want to miss this opportunity. We didn't want to miss this opportunity to sit with you and to have a moment with our church family. Even though we're not present in person, we're certainly present in spirit and heart wherever you're watching this at, and whatever time you're watching this at. If you have your Bible there with you close by, grab it and go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to be at. And while you're going there, I want to encourage you in a couple ways. You heard the announcements earlier. Our Christmas concert will be canceled tonight. We have punted that to next Sunday night, December 16th. At 5 o'clock p.m., I really hope that you and your family can make that a priority. It's later than we wanted it to be, but because of this silly weather, here we are. This is our reality. So I really hope you can be there. Also, I want to encourage you that our while we're not gathered together this morning, we still have ministries to run and a budget to meet. And so I want to encourage you to be faithful in your giving. You can go right there on our website, click the big give button. Encourage you to help us out and give there. Want to encourage you to be faithful there in your giving. Our weekly need is $28,560. So almost $28,600 is what we need every week to make sure we hit budget. And so I want to encourage you to give faithfully. If you can't give today, that's okay. Just make it up next Sunday. We want to really encourage you to be faithful there. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're at, and I want to focus today on the subject of peace. The subject of peace. Last week we looked at hope. This week we're looking at peace. And it seems as though everyone is searching for peace. Everyone longs for peace. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in our communities. We want peace in our country. The whole world wants peace. And if you don't believe me, just look at the plethora of songs that have to do with the subject of peace. The song Peace on Earth by U2, Imagine by John Lennon, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, Where is the Love by Black Eyed Peas, and one of my favorites, Changes by Tupac. Any Tupac fans out there? I know you're feeling me on. Maybe not Changes. Maybe Changes doesn't fit in that category. But I can tell you something that's 100% true. This is 100% true. I cannot solve the world peace issue. Surprise, surprise. I can't solve that issue. Neither can you. But what I can solve and really help to solve is your peace issue. I think the Bible gives us a plan for peace. It gives us a person of peace. And you may say, well, Pastor Ronnie, what do you mean my peace problem? Because I say your peace problem because I think we all have peace problems. When you think about our own hearts, the way they get anxious about life, about our jobs, about our families, about our children, how we worry and how we're nervous and how all these things tend to be a little up in the air at times. And we get scared, we get afraid, we become stressed out. All of us are living in a constant mode of anxiousness, it seems, at times. And we've got all these issues and all these things going on in our lives, and we hear a sermon when it comes to a subject of peace, and we ask ourselves, is it really possible? Is peace really attainable? I mean, can I really live in a state of peace? And I think we can. I think the Bible calls us to as Christians. The word peace, according to Hebrew, is the word shalom, meaning completeness or well-being. In the Old Testament, shalom serves as a greeting to announce blessing upon someone. It also is an indication upon God's blessing upon those who enjoyed a right relationship with God. And this is the word peace. This is what we're given. And then Isaiah 9 in the Old Testament introduces us to someone who has the title Prince of Peace. Now keep in mind, we're hundreds of years before Jesus has ever come to earth, hundreds of years before he's ever come as a baby lying in a manger, hundreds of years before he's gone to the cross, hundreds of years before the name of Jesus has ever been spoken. And here in Isaiah 9, Isaiah sees a vision, and it is revealed to him. He prophesies about the coming king. Read with me Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." See, Isaiah tells us much about this promised Prince of Peace. It says his dominion will be vast. Its prosperity will never end. The dominion of this promised one, the dominion of this king, of this wonderful counselor, of this Prince of Peace will be vast. His dominion will be vast. Its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David, which means he will come from the line of David. If you remember in our Mark series, Jesus is called Son of David by blind Bartimaeus. He comes from the line of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it. And he does it how? With justice and with righteousness. And how long? From now on and forever. This is the reign of Jesus Christ, the one that we look back on at Christmas time to celebrate his birth. And if you remember last week, I talked about how we're living in this strange in-between where we look back and reflect on his coming to earth to die for us, and we look forward to his next coming to return to get us. And this is what we are able to celebrate. And really, when I talk about peace, here's the main point I want you to walk away with today. Here's the main point. Jesus brings, he gives eternal peace with God by his death on the cross. Jesus gives eternal peace with God by his death on the cross. To help us see this, I want us to consider four quick things this morning. Four quick things. First, the desire for peace. The desire for peace. Why do we have this desire for peace in our hearts? Why do we long for peace at all? Why does our world long to be at peace with one another? Why do we have this in us? And it's because we all know something's gone awfully wrong. All of us know things aren't right. You see, in the garden, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, they enjoyed perfect peace with God. Perfect fellowship with God. God created them and gave them life and breath and said, "Here, this is your garden. Do whatever you want, however you want to do it. Just don't do this one thing." And we know what happened. Though they enjoyed peace with God wasn't enough for them. They rebelled. And in their rebellion, they disobeyed God. And in that rebellion, they caused this great tragedy to take place where separation, when they sinned, this perfect peace they enjoyed was separated. God punished them. God kicked them out of the garden, and they were banished. And ever since that moment, we have been living in broken lives, in sin. We're born into sin. The curse of the garden, the curse of sin falls to every one of us, and we all are born sinners. And when we grow up and realize the guilt that we have in our hearts, the convictions and such, and this that there's this great chasm between mankind and God. And this is the reality we're told. But the good news is, in the Old Testament, God promises to bridge the gap between mankind and himself. God promises a Savior to come who will make this gap be closed, who will bridge it, who will make it so mankind can come back into perfect peace with God. So that's the desire of peace. We all have this desire. Secondly, the source of peace. As I've stated, Jesus is the true source of peace. And Isaiah says he's the Prince of Peace. Flip over with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14, Jesus is talking, and we have these beautiful words of Jesus. John chapter 14, starting with verse 27, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So Jesus is the source of peace. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So the peace that Jesus has is different than what the world offers. Jesus is giving true peace. He says, don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. How many of us are troubled and fearful this morning? Imagine the disciples who are fearful and troubled, knowing what's about to take place in Jesus' life. He says, don't be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you, I am going away. So Jesus says, I've told you multiple times that I'm going to the cross. And I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. Now listen to this beautiful line in verse 29. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. Imagine their fear going on with Jesus, going through the cross, watching their master be killed and be buried. And imagine the fear and trouble that might have been in their hearts. But Jesus says here, don't be fearful and don't be troubled. I'm telling you now what's going to happen. I will be raised. Don't be fearful. Have peace. My peace I give to you. Think about what we have in the Word of God. If we know we are secure in Jesus Christ as His people, and we know what's to come one day, if persecution might come, if tragedy might come, whatever might come, if disease or diagnoses might come, imagine the peace of Christ reigning in us to know that what is to come for us is heaven and eternity with glorified bodies and raised lives one day, and eternity with the Father and completely healed. Those realities help us, much like Jesus' words helped the disciples. He says, I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. Church, Jesus is the source of our peace. Third, the gift of peace. I say the gift of peace because not only is Jesus the source of peace, but He is God's gift to us. He's a gift, and I love Christmas time because of presents, and we all get gifts. And I talked about last week how I love gifts. And Jesus is the greatest gift of all time, given to us by our great God who loves us and longs for us to come into a right relationship with Him. The God who loves us sent Jesus. One of my favorite verses is John 3:16. Many of you know it, whether you're tuning in for the first time to a church service in a long time, most likely you've heard John 3:16 before. This is what John 3:16 says. For God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is God's free gift. He's a free gift to mankind. He came as a baby. He grew up among us, lived a perfect life, yet was charged with crimes He never committed, accused of things He never did. And He was God's perfect sacrifice. He was put forth on a cross for your sin and my sin. The Bible teaches us that God took my sin, all my past sins, all my current sins, all my future sins, all those sins of that you might be struggling with right now. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's greed. Whatever the sins you feel convicted for, Maybe you're living in adultery. Maybe you're having an affair. Where you find yourself today, the Bible says Jesus took my sin and your sin and he carried them on his shoulders and God placed them on him. And when Jesus died on the cross, God's anger and wrath toward all my sin was poured out on Jesus. The Bible says God takes us off the judgment seat and puts Jesus there, and God pours out his judgment on his own son for our benefit, for you and for me. It's an amazing transition that we're given in the gospel. The Bible says Jesus really died and he went into the grave, and 3 days later God breathed life into him and raised him to life. To show he has power over our sin and power over death and power to give us life eternally, to give us forgiveness for sin. And God did all this. You don't have to work up to earn God's favor. You don't have to do enough or say enough or give money. You don't have to do these things. It's a free gift. Only thing God calls us to do is to turn from our lives of sin and bring all that we are and lay them at his feet and surrender, that we might admit that we are sinners and unable to get ourselves to heaven, that we might believe that Jesus really died on the cross for our sin, that he really rose to life, and then to confess him as Lord, that we would follow him all the days of our lives, that we would bring all of us underneath his authority. This is the gift of peace, that Jesus bridged it. And finally, the result of peace. The result of peace. What is the result of someone knowing Jesus Christ? What is the result of having Jesus Christ? Three key areas I want to focus on here. These are all fruit of our salvation. Here they are. First, inner peace. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's really hard to have inner peace. With all the turmoil in our lives, all the frustrations and the bitterness and the anger and the problems and the family issues and everything going on. But inner peace begins with a relationship with God. Inner peace continues through your relationship with God. And inner peace ends at the end of your life walking with God. You can have inner peace when you give your time to the Lord every day. When you wake up and the most important thing that you need to do is to meet with God in his word. Just you and him alone in prayer, carrying your frustrations and all those struggles to him. Sit in his word and listen and seek him and pray and journal your heart out so that you might hear from God. Because we all want to make sure we're maintaining peace in our hearts. And the source of our peace is Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we must be growing in our walk with him daily. Secondly, we have real peace with God. I've talked about this. The peace that Adam and Eve lost. When we are saved, when we become Christians, we now have peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, salvation is not by works, but by faith. With our heart, we believe. We believe God by faith. We believe the gospel. We can't really see Jesus dying on the cross. We have evidence. We have proof of it in this word. So we must believe by faith. These things are true. And Romans 5:1 says, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:19-22 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. We have been reconciled with God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. This is the result of peace. So inner peace, peace with God, and third, peace with others. Now, as Christians, as people who are following Christ, We are to seek to live at peace with others. And others is everyone, no matter what they look like, no matter the color of their skin or their socioeconomic status, no matter their sin struggle, we are to love others and live at peace with them. Matthew 5, 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Colossians 3, 15, Paul says to let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. That we need to be ruled by peace. That our hearts need to be ruled by peace in our homes, with our spouses, with our children, with our neighbors, and with others. We are to let the peace of God rule in us. So my point to this morning is to point to Jesus. Because Jesus gives eternal peace with God by his death on the cross. This holiday season, as we celebrate the reality of Jesus Christ, the one who is our Prince of Peace, we reflect and remember what the Scriptures teach us about him. That he proclaims peace to the nations in Zechariah 9:10. That he brings tidings of peace and salvation in Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 57. Scriptures teach us that Jesus ushers in God's everlasting covenant of peace with his people. Ezekiel 37:26 says this. You see, he brings peace and he is characterized by peace. And he came down to earth as a baby to lay his life down for you and for me and to redeem us from our sin and to give us eternal life. And he brings us peace with God by his blood. And as you sit there this morning, the comfort of your own home, maybe with coffee in hand, and you look out at the white snow, give glory to God for what he has done this Christmas season. Give glory to God for what he's done in your home, what he's done in your heart, what he's done in your family. And I would encourage you as you reflect this morning on what he's done. Maybe you're watching and you're thinking that you don't know peace. That you don't know Christ. You've never had a relationship with him. I want to encourage you right now. God came to save you. God sent Jesus because he loves you. God sent him because he wants to be reconciled with you, and he wants to save you. No matter your sin, no matter the situation you find yourself in, the beautiful thing about the gospel is it can save anyone, that God came to redeem the world. And right now, wherever you're seated, I encourage you, if that's you, if you're feeling God speak to your heart right now, I want to invite you to stop running and just to bow your head right where you're seated, and just tell the Lord, confess your sin to him. God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I've rebelled from your ways, and I've lived according to my ways, but I believe Jesus came to die for me. He died on the cross, and he took my sin, and he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose to life. I don't understand it all, but Lord, I believe it by faith right now. And I confess you as Lord, and I commit to following you all the days of my life. Lord, would you save me? And would you use me? Amen. I would encourage you this morning, if you gave your life to Jesus, if that's your confession, you'll find a tab on our website there where you can fill that out and send us a note. You can email me, pastor@ccchuntersville.com. I'd love to know that. I'd love to get you some resources to, or maybe even meet you and hear what the Lord is doing in your heart. And for all those others who are watching today in our church family, I want to encourage you to make sure your heart is right with the Lord, and to make sure your heart is right with others. What a great opportunity we have this season to model Christ-likeness with our friends and families, by seeking to live at peace with others. Christ community, I miss you this morning. I pray for you today, and I hope that you have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday, live and in person, Lord willing. Let me pray for us, and we will be concluded. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness to us. God, I thank you for the beautiful snow. Help us to get through these next few days. I pray for our city. I pray for the roads to clear up. I pray for little damage. I pray that everything would be back to normal soon, Lord. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness. You've shown us in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We're grateful for who you are and for what you're doing among us at Christ Community. And Lord, we're reminded this morning that that when the snow melts and our doors open back up, we're able to go back out, that we go out in faith knowing that you've called us to go out. You've called us to live on mission, and I pray that we'd go doing so today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.